After Abraham had built the altar, he had pitched his tent at Bethel. We understand that because of the famine, he went down to Egypt. That's in the last part of chapter 12. When he gets to Egypt, he gets afraid that because his wife is such a beautiful woman, that it may in some way jeopardize his life. So he says to Sarah, telling you my sister. Not a complete lie, someone said. A half lie is still not the truth, is it? A half truth is still a lie. But the pagan king had more scruples than Abram. And finally he says, what are you trying to do to me? Get out and take all of this stuff with you. And so when he leaves Egypt, he comes out, after having done wrong, he comes out with more stuff. Who's watching? Lot. He knows God's called him. He knows he's a godly man. He saw him build the altar. And then he sees him lie. Then he sees him deceive. And then he sees him come out with a mighty hand. However, Abram went down to Egypt, always a place away from God. But in chapter 13, verse 1, Abram went up out of Egypt, returning now. He goes back to Bethel. Look in verse 4, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. I believe he got it right. I believe he went back and got it right. Verse 5, Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt there in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all of the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Started with a look. As we see the progression of the thing, I think Peter was hallucinating when he said Lot's a righteous man. I mean, I don't know where he got that from. And yet he was, and God knows how to deliver the righteous. But here's Lot, and he's vexing his righteous soul daily. He's worn down, down, down. But how did he ever get there? See, this is what you might say. How did brother so-and-so ever get there? We were talking about restoring people and encouraging people. Here's a neat little story. It'll encourage you. There was an elder, a family, four children. Left his wife, left his children. Ran off with another woman. Gone. I mean, just gone. Two young men in that assembly said, that man is too good of a man to let the devil have him. They drove all night after saturating that thing with prayer. All night. 800-mile trip. The next day, they parked their car on the street and they waited for him to come. When he came to the house where he was staying with this woman, they stood between him and that house. He said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "We have come to take you home." I can tell you today, not long ago, I visited that assembly. That man is home. He's with his wife. He's confessed it. He's repented. And he's in fellowship in that assembly again. Two young men said he's too good of a man to let the devil have him. But how did it start? How does a good man, how does it start? I'm going to suggest that everything we read about Lot, there's one thing we never read about him. He never had an altar. Abraham had an altar. And Abraham failed many times, but he came back, didn't he? That altar represented the place where he met with God. A place where he'd fellowship with God. A place he'd get direction from God. A place he'd worship God. Gentlemen, listen to me. If you do not have an altar in your life, you are headed for destruction. I don't care how strong you think you are. Well, he had a bad example. Yes, he did, but I can't blame it on bad examples. There's probably not a one of us here that hasn't had a bad example. You're going to blame it on them? What are you going to say at the judgment seat? Well, it was... God's going to say, what about you? When you don't have an altar, notice what the result of life was. Number one, no altar, no peace. See that? I'll go this far. If you don't have a family altar, mister, I tell you what I'm going to suggest. You've got no peace in your home. I mean, it is confusion. Children here, wife there, doom, doom, doom. We don't have time, can't pray together, can't kneel together, can't read the scriptures together. But you don't understand our schedule. I'm just suggesting you don't have an altar. You got a problem. There was strife, verse 7, no peace. Secondly, in verse 10, when he looked, his vision was distorted. Good place to raise cattle. Terrible place to raise a family. Then he chose. He made bad decisions. No peace, no wisdom, no vision, no discernment. Then he left the fellowship of his uncle. Now, the security of fellowship is broken. Then he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Later in chapter 14, he moves into Sodom. Now, no resistance. Now he's got a house. By the time you get to chapter 19, he's got a house, no standards anymore. By the time you get to chapter 19, he's sitting in the gate with the officials. He's part of it. He lost his fellowship with God. He lost the joy of living for God. He lost his witness and his testimony. He lost all of his material blessings. He lost his family. He lost everything but his salvation. In the end, his two daughters make love with him and bear the arch enemies of Israel. Wow. How did it start? Didn't need an altar. We've been talking a lot about holiness, its pitfalls, all of the traps. We've heard about God's provision, God's plan for us, God's care for us. How about His Spirit? We can do these things. But gentlemen, I want to tell you something. If you don't get an altar in your life, you don't get before God and cry out to God. We heard you are what you are alone with God. When's the last time you just fell out on your face before God? Said, oh God. Did you ever notice how long our prayers are in prayer meeting and how short they are when we're alone? We got nothing to say. It's not this omnipotent, omniscient, all-loving, gracious, heavenly Father of our blessed Lord. It's just, oh God, I don't know what to say anymore when I'm alone. God, I got nobody to impress. I got nobody to pray to except God. It's true. Very short prayers. I'm going to suggest for you that God can lead us and strengthen us and help us and fit you for the day to battle, spiritual battle every day, if you will determine to erect an altar in your life. And you know what? Erect an altar for your family. You say, well, I tried that. Don't give up, brother. Try it again and again and again. Well, a week, a month, 6 months, a year. Go back. Abram was in Egypt, but he went back. And he got right with God. I believe with all my heart that God would give us a warning from this man's life. Yes, God knows how to deliver. But the way his evaluation and his discernment is so twisted and torn, he says, take my two daughters. Come on. And then the two daughters say, we'll get him drunk and sleep with him. Look at the effect on the daughters. Look how the standards were so lowered. Look how he didn't even want to leave. God drug him out with his heels dug in all the way. Gentlemen, you will have nobody to blame, neither will I. But we will give an account. And I plead with you today, if there is any area in your life that you know is not right, would you go home and get it right? If you've got something you've been hiding from your wife, please go home and tell her. Be honest. If you need to tell the Lord something, please tell him. Because we need men like Joshua. We need men like Abraham. We need men that would say, for me and my house, we are determined to serve the Lord. And you could just say this, God, if I fail in everything else in my life, oh God, don't let me fail as a husband, as a father, as a man, as a leader. Don't let me fail in that area. Don't let me fail in the area of holiness. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. And by the grace of God, get home and get that altar established in your life. Because if you do, you know what? You'll have discernment. You'll have peace. You'll have wisdom. You'll have vision. God will give it to you because you are completely dependent on Him. And He will meet you where you are. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for exposing to us some of your truths and some of your principles. Thank you for these questions that have been asked, some very difficult, not always pat answers. We pray for these men, Father. I pray you put a hedge about them, that you would give them a determination to say, I choose to serve the Lord. I'm willing to lay it before Him. I want to be the husband you want me to be. I want to be the father you want me to be. I want to be the man of God you want me to be. I want to be example to others. Father, we know that you're not only willing, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above. There is no problem too big for God. Just people too proud to ask for help. Oh God, break someone here today. Convict them if they need be. And turn them to the Savior. And show them the way of holiness. And help each one of us determine before God that we want to please the one that's chosen us to be a soldier. We want to honor him. We want to represent him. We want to be the men that God wants us to be. Oh God, what could you do with these men today if they would determine a life of holiness? No games, no tricks. Just go home and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to be the man God wants me to be. Oh, Father, please, we plead with thee. We plead with thy Spirit. Do a work in our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.